Lecture 45, The Origins of the Cold War.
In the summer of 1945, the Second World War ended in triumph for the Allies. But the Anglo-American and Soviet solidarity that had crushed Hitler, destroyed the Third Reich, defeated Mussolini's Italy, dissolved even before the defeat of Imperial Japan in August. The shooting war in Europe was over. The Cold War was about to begin. In this lecture, we begin our discussion of the Cold War and events in post-war Europe. The roots of mistrust, the roots of the Cold War, the mistrust between the Soviet Union and the Western Allies ran deep. In many ways, what is remarkable is the success of the wartime alliance between the Soviet Union and its ideological enemies. You'll recall that during the Russian Civil War, the Western Allies, the United States, Britain, France, had actually sent troops to fight against the Bolsheviks, fight with the White Russians against the Bolsheviks in an effort to keep Russia in the war against Germany. That intervention would create a legacy of mistrust, a conviction on the part of many Bolsheviks, old Bolsheviks, particularly someone like Stalin, that the West simply could not be trusted, was out to undermine the Soviet Union from the very beginning. Steadfast Western opposition to the Bolsheviks had also been reflected in the exclusion of the new Soviet regime, Russian regime, from the Versailles peace negotiations. The Soviets had not been invited originally to join the League of Nations. The Soviet Union was a renegade state in the immediate aftermath of the First World War. The Western powers had also been highly mistrustful of the Comintern, this organization established in the Soviet Union to sponsor world revolution, or so it seemed, from the West. Even after the Nazi assumption of power in 1933, relations between the Western powers and the Soviet Union remained difficult or were strained. Soviet disappointment was keen that the West had failed to help Republican forces in the Spanish Civil War. Stalin had sent troops, had sent military advisors, sent economic aid, weapons and so on to the Republican forces in Spain. And although England and France had made public statements in support of the Spanish Republic, had not supported the anti-fascist forces in Spain to the same extent as the Soviets. The Soviet Union had joined the League of Nations and had security arrangements with Czechoslovakia and with France. As we've seen before the crises of 1938. But again, Soviet representatives were not invited to attend or participate in the infamous Munich Conference in September of 1938. The Western performance at Munich, as we underscored, had convinced Stalin that the West was interested only in deflecting German aggression toward the East. These problematic relations would contribute to the Soviet decision in 1939, in August, to sign the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, the Nazi-Soviet Pact of Non-Aggression, which in turn alienated the West. And in fact, between August 1939 and June of 1941, when German troops slashed into the Soviet Union, the Soviet regime had been a faithful ally of the Third Reich. The annexation of Eastern Poland was viewed in the West as little more than cynical. The Russo-Finnish War lowered Western regard for the Soviets even further. In fact, early on in the war, Churchill had had an idea that perhaps Britain should send troops across Norway and Sweden to help the Finns to fight the Soviet Union. One can only be relieved that this adventure was not undertaken. But it does reflect the extent of animosity, of mistrust, of a sense of a feeling that the other side was cynical, capable of anything. This was the atmosphere that pervaded Western-Soviet relations when, on June 22, 1941, German troops marched into the Soviet Union.